This morning we had several visitors, and two or three of them were from our community, and I noticed that they didn't fill out cards. There was a lady sitting right back there, about four rows back, and she had two little boys with her. This was a different lady, I believe, because I asked her, I said, "Where are you from?" She says, "Right here." And then there was a man by the name of Roy and his daughter who were sitting just right back, about where Tony is back there. And they didn't fill out cards either. And I asked him, I said, "Are y'all from here?" And he says, "Yes." And I said, "Well, what brought you here?" He said, "That little publication y'all send out." So it was the house to house that brought them. We've got to take notice of those kind of people, folks. They're not always going to fill out cards, and it's going to be good for us if we can. I almost didn't even get to talk to that lady. She got past me at the door, and I had to say, whoa, wait a minute. And we need to corral those people, hand them a card, get them to give us some information so that we can make contact with them and talk to them. They're scared. They may have just, on a whim come to this congregation. They don't know us from Adam, and we've got to make them feel welcome and appreciated, and try to encourage all those people to come back. Sometimes we just have one shot, don't we? And we've got to do the best we can do to try to capture those individuals and to talk to them and befriend them and hopefully teach them the gospel of Christ. So let's pay a little attention and try to do that over the course of all of this congregation's life. We've been studying on Wednesdays the book of Philippians. And one of the purposes of that particular epistle was for Paul to give thanks to the Philippians for all of the assistance that he had received from them in preaching the gospel of Christ in all of his various journeys. In Philippians 1, beginning at verse 3, Paul says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Here is an apostle, an individual who we hold in great esteem, do we not? And what is he doing? Folks, he is on his knees before the throne of God, giving thanks to those individuals who had assisted him in the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, the Apostle Paul knew, "I could not do it on my own. And I thank God for the assistance that I have received from other individuals." Question: do we not all have individuals who have come into our lives, who have assisted us, who have helped us, who have supported us, and we need to give thanks for those individuals? The title of the lesson tonight is somewhat personal for me. It is entitled as follows: I need to give some people thanks. Point number one: I need to give my parents thanks. It's pretty basic, isn't it? The reason I'm here tonight is because of my parents. Isn't that right? Had it not been for those two getting together, old Victor SQ would have never been upon this planet. Now you can go and you can talk to them about that if you don't like that. But it's because of them that I'm here tonight, isn't it? My dad's name was Gerald. A lot of individuals called him Jerry. He was a journeyman electrician. My mom's name was Hazel, and she was nothing but a receptionist at a small little glass place named Neary Glass Company. Both of them were raised on little bitty farms in Tennessee in little bitty towns. October 23rd, 1959, a little boy pops onto the scene by the name of Victor M. Eskew. Somebody asked me one time, "What's the M stand for?" And I said, "Me." That M stands for Michael, is what that stands for. I was born in Dyersburg, Tennessee, just a little ways from New Bern, Tennessee. My mom and dad very shortly thereafter moved to Memphis, Tennessee, and that is the only place that I know as far as growing up is concerned. I'm an old city boy, is what I am. But folks, you know, those two individuals who nobody else hardly knows are responsible for much of what I am today, and I need to give those individuals thanks. There's a lot of different areas that I could talk about. One of the things that I need to give thanks to them for is this: they guided my spiritual life. They understood what Paul said in Ephesians 6:4, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I need to give my parents thanks for teaching me respect for authority. There are many parents today who have no clue about authority. They themselves are in rebellion against authority, and they don't teach their children respect for authority. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, for this is the first commandment with promise, that thy days may be long upon the earth." My parents taught me the need for respect. To say, "Yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am." And to honor those who are above me, whether they be a teacher, whether they be the law officials of our land, whether they be the President of the United States, whether it be the elders, you honor those individuals who are in positions of authority. And I'm thankful I've been taught respect for authority. My parents taught me the difference between right and wrong. They told me that everything that is wrong, you need to refrain from, and everything that is right, you need to do. And they based that upon the teachings of God's holy word. For the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Titus 2:11 and 12. My parents taught me discipline. Sometimes that discipline was nothing more than a sit down and talk to. I'd rather have a whooping. I remember one of them sit down talk to's on one occasion. It went about 3 hours. I was about sick of that. Sometimes it was take privileges away, but sometimes it was physical discipline, folks. The Bible says, "Withhold not correction from the child. If thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt save his soul from hell." Proverbs 3:13-14. I bet you that I could go around this audience and talk to every individual herein. And guess what? You could tell me something that you thank God as far as your parents are concerned. Something they taught you, something they did for you, some way that they have assisted you in being who you are at this present time. My friends, we need desperately to give thanks for our parents. And I want to take a minute and stop. I've asked Aaron to come and lead a word of prayer giving thanks for our parents and those who've raised us.
Would you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, we come to you and we're thankful for your parenthood of us. But Father, we're also thankful for the blessing that you gave us to have parents that were willing to love us and raise us and help us to be Christians. Father, we're thankful for those parents who have taken us under their wing and guided us when we were doing wrong and got us back on the right path. We're thankful for the love that they exhibit for us. We're thankful for the respect that they taught us. We're thankful for the love that they show even when they're far away. Lord, we're also thankful for not only the parents that we were raised by, but also those of us who are married. We're thankful for those parents who we welcomed into our family when we were married, Lord. We're thankful for their love and their acceptance. We're thankful for their example as well. Lord, we ask that you grant us the wisdom to continue to raise our children as our parents raised us before. Lord, we ask that you grant us the wisdom to remember all the things that our parents do and have done for us. And Lord, we're thankful for the great example that you gave to us through your word of parenting. For no matter how many books that the world may publish to tell us how to raise a child, your word is the ultimate and final authority. And we are thankful for that. Thank you for the blessing of our parents and our grandparents. Thank you for the blessing of our children. And Lord, help us all to continue on in faith and to be a good example to our children and to our parents so that we can make them proud and make you proud. Lord, please continue to watch over us and be with us. In Christ's name, amen.
A second group of individuals that I have to be thankful for are all of my teachers in the past. Folks, I've had secular teachers, and I've had spiritual teachers for which I'm thankful. Some of them I can name, most of them I can remember, especially the good ones, can't you? First grade, Miss Griffith, I think she stood 8 feet tall. She was a tall lady, especially when you're a short, fat little kid named Victor. And I remember that lady teaching us, and one of the things that she would do, she would discipline us. She'd grab our earlobes and just shake because she knew she wasn't going to get in trouble because you ain't going to bruise an earlobe. There's no way to know you've been disciplined. I remember a teacher named Miss Faulkner, a teacher named Miss Eubanks. I remember one of my teachers named Mr. Strong in sixth grade, the only male teacher in the entire school, and I was fortunate enough to get Mr. Strong. Ms. Bolick in eighth and ninth grade. Enter into college, and I remember some of those instructors. I don't remember their names. I remember one history teacher that I had. He talked something like this: "Hey, kids, how are y'all today?" That drove me nuts. But folks, he knew history like the back of his hand. Entered into the Memphis School of Preaching. Brother John Renshaw. Brother Richard Curry. Brother Roy Hearn. Brother E.L. Whitaker. Brother J.A. McNutt. And a host of other preachers who taught me the precious word of the living God. And folks, I am today because of a melding of every one of those teachers in my life. There's numerous things for which I am thankful when it comes to my teachers. Number one, I had many teachers take an interest in Victor Eskew. They knew me, they could call me by name, and I knew that not only did they know me, but they had a deep affection for me as a person. Secondly, I am thankful for the enthusiasm with which many of those individuals taught. You remember that history teacher I was telling you about? Guys, you want him to teach you history. He was teaching us history of the United States of America, and he could bring that history to life. And you could not wait to go back in to the next session in order to be taught about that next section of history. I had teachers that were extremely kind in nature. Mr. Strong, being the only male teacher, was extremely kind. In fact, so kind that oftentimes the other students would take advantage of him. But he never got upset. He never yelled. He never screamed. One day I can remember him sitting up in class, and he looked at everybody, and with a somewhat raised voice he says, "This has got to stop." And that was about as firm as he ever got in that class. I had teachers that would push me. Teachers that gave me unbelievable assignments that I didn't know whether I could do or not do. And yet they continue to challenge me to be the very best I could be. Teachers that would hold me accountable for the work that they required in those classes. The words of Paul ring true in 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. My friends, Paul was talking about in that instance the teachers that Timothy had had in his mother and his grandmother. But all faithful teachers helped to mold us and shape us and point us in directions that we need to go. And we need to give thanks, do we not, for godly teachers. I've asked Larry to come and offer up a prayer for all those faithful teachers that we've had in times past.
Will you bow with me, please? Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the many wonderful blessings of life. Father, we especially thank you for all the secular teachers that we've ever had that love their job of being a teacher. They love their job not only because they want to teach their students and teach them to be a better student, but they love their job because as a teacher, they love and care about their kids. Father, thank you so much for them that strive to teach them the subject that they are teaching, but not only teach them how to be a better person. Father, even more importantly, we thank you for the teachers in our churches that teach us your word from the Bible. Father, we know that much preparation comes into the getting prepared to teach the old and young alike. And Father, we know that it's a very important job to be a teacher of your word. Father, as they continue to do that, we pray that you will bless them and keep them having the desire to be a teacher. And we pray that others will come to want to be a teacher so that they can teach others your word. Help them be a better student of your word and help them become a better Christian as they learn about your word. Again, Father, thank you so much for all the wonderful teachers that we have. And Father, we pray all this through your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
It was September or so of 1981, and from September to the end of December, I begged and I pleaded and I begged and I pleaded, and every time I asked, she said no. So it got to be the end of December, and I wrote a letter and I said, look, this is the last time I'm asking. If you don't say yes this time, it's over. I'm never asking again. She contacts me. She says, who do you think you are writing a letter like that? That was Kathleen M. Connolly. And we went out January the 1st of 1982. I proposed in April of 82, and we were married on September 24th, 1982, at Knight Arnold Church of Christ in Memphis, Tennessee, and the presiding official was Brother Robert R. Taylor, Jr. that night. That's been 30 years ago, folks. And I thank God for Kathleen Eskew. She's been with me in 30 years of preaching, and we've gone through a lot of church problems, let me tell you. As a young preacher, I didn't come from a preacher family. I didn't know how to preach. I didn't know how to deal with brethren. I still may not know it very well. And we went through a lot of struggles those first 4 years of our preaching experiences. We've moved many, many times, and you've been a part of that, haven't you? We moved just 8 months ago. Many times I've left her alone with the kids. Gone to a lectureship, gone to a meeting, going to school, called out by some of the brethren at different times of the day. And she's there raising those children all by herself. She knows my weaknesses. She knows my shortcomings. And she's had to put up with my sins. Did you know that? And guess what? There she is. As far as I'm concerned, she embodies a lot of what is found in Scripture. The Apostle Paul told the aged women to teach the younger women to love their husbands. Titus 2, verse 4. And she does that. In Titus 2, verse 5, Paul again speaking to the aged women. He says, you teach those younger women to be keepers at home. And she is. When we first got married, boy, I had to eat fast. Because by the time I eat, if I turned my head, she'd be cleaning the plate. The Apostle Paul tells women in Ephesians 5, verse 22 and 23, to submit yourselves unto your own husbands in the Lord. She does that. Sometimes reluctantly. But she does that. Now you may be asking me, did she write this portion of the sermon? No. It's all mine, and I'm going to get home tonight, and I'm going to hear from her. You shouldn't have put that in there. Oh, yes, I should put that in there, shouldn't I? Folks, a man is what he is because of his wife most of the time. Did you know that? She's behind the scenes. She doesn't get very much credit. She doesn't get very much glory. All wives are different, aren't they? And yet that old song, that individual is the wind beneath my wings, is true, isn't it? We look into the pages of God's holy and divine word, and that's what we see, don't we? We see many couples who are there. And it's not just the man, but it's the wife who stood beside that man. This morning we studied about Abraham and the death of Sarah at 127 years old. And what did Abraham do? The Bible says he came and he wept and mourned for Sarah. Folks, you don't weep and mourn for something that is not a loss in your life. He missed her. She had helped him and supported him as a great patriarch and as a faithful woman who's mentioned in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I'm certain that not only are men thankful for wives, but wives are also thankful for their husbands. And we need to go to God, and we need to thank God, because it was Solomon who said, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor from the Lord. Proverbs 18, verse 22. Let's give thanks for our spouse, and I've asked Jim to come and offer up thanks for them.
Let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to you for one of the oldest institutions in the Bible, and that is marriage. We're thankful, dear Father, that you designed it, that man and woman could come together, make a commitment to one another, and a vow to you, that they could form one unit called a family. We're thankful especially, dear Father, for the man and woman that are Christians together, that work together as one to work in your vineyard, to influence others to come to you. We especially appreciate them as parents and their commitment to raise their children as Christians, and later on as grandparents to make sure that influence continues to go through their grandchildren. We pray to Heavenly Father that you would be each of us, that we might respect our spouse, that we might know that we totally depend on them, that we work together as one in your kingdom. Forgive us our sins and bless our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
When I was a young man, about 15, 16, 17 years old, the Vietnam War had not been ended very long. And that was not a good war, was it? Very political war, a war with much animosity within our nation. And because of that and other influences, I never served in the armed forces of the United States. I don't know about you, but as I look back on my life, there are certain areas wherein I feel that there is an empty spot. Maybe something that I wanted to do, desired to do, would have liked to have done, that would have helped me to be more fulfilled as an individual. And one of those is serving in the military of the United States. Didn't get to do that. But you know what? I'm thankful to our Father in heaven for every one of those individuals, men and women, who are serving in the United States Armed Forces. It's hard for me to understand the sacrifices that they make. You know that? It really is. One day I got on the internet and I was just a little curious and I thought, well, I'm just going to type in and see what the salaries of some of these people are. Folks, it's nothing. You know that? It's not very much money, especially when you start. Now, as you move up the ranks, you might do fairly well, but it takes a long time, doesn't it? Here are individuals who said, you know, I love my country and I want to serve and I'm willing to sacrifice other earthly pursuits in order to be someone who stands and protects our nation. I know there's family time that's sacrificed, isn't there? Dad's gone 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, 12 months. And there's an extension of that deployment for another month or two. They come back, they're home for 5-6 weeks, and off they go again. Can you imagine seeing little children at a young age and then not seeing them again for an entire year, folks? Kids grow up in a year in many instances, don't they? What a sacrifice. I've seen the commercials on television and hear the voices of those individuals who sacrificed physically, who sacrificed emotionally for individuals in our nation. It's hard for me to imagine losing a limb and having to survive losing 2 limbs or 3 limbs. It's hard for me to imagine some kind of disorder of my brain because I've been fighting in the armed forces and have suffered some affliction. It's hard for me to imagine post-traumatic stress disorder, isn't it, you? And folks, there's some of those individuals who have given the ultimate, haven't they? They've laid down their lives for our nation. When I use that word nation, I'm not talking about a concept. I'm not talking about just 2 pieces of paper that have been written known as the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. I'm talking about the people of this nation. Me, you. They have laid down their lives so that you and I can be free. You and I can get up every day, go about our normal day's activities, and not have to fear the enemy. Can you imagine fear of being enslaved? Fear of being persecuted, fear of your home being destroyed, fear of your family being taken from you, fear of death itself. We don't have to worry about those things in this nation, do we? I've never worried about that. And that's because we have individuals who have chosen to stand on the wall and fight for the freedom of the United States of America. My friends, I'm thankful to them. I'll never be able to serve, ever. And now every time I get an opportunity and I have a little extra money, it goes to some form of organization that supports our troops in the United States. Wounded Warrior Project or many of the other organizations that exist today. The least I can do is to help in some way and tell them, thank you for what you've done for me. Paul gets down into Romans, the 13th chapter, talking about governments. And in verse 7, he says this, render therefore to all their due. Tribute to whom tribute. Honor to whom honor. Fear unto whom fear. And custom unto whom custom. We're right around the Veterans Day, aren't we? And folks, it does us good to stop and to tell our troops thank you for what you've done on our behalf. I've asked Brother Chris to come and offer up prayers for our military. Pray with me.
Heavenly Father, we come before you at this time, Lord, thankful for the long line of men and women that have served this nation since before it was even born, for the sacrifices they've made and for the things they've done. As they come home from different wars and the way we treat them and what we think of them, they've served honorably, and we ask, Father, that they serve you and they serve honorably as you would have them to serve, to be good leaders and good stewards of the things that they're given. Father, we ask also that we consider the thing, the sacrifice that was most important, that's your Son. And we appreciate the freedom that they've given us to worship your Son and the things that we should do in church and not be afraid. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Our little minds are finite, aren't they? Folks, there's some things that you and I just cannot fully comprehend. We may stop and we may say, oh yes, I understand. But yet that understanding is not as full and developed maybe as it truly needs to be. And that is especially true with regard to this final point. I need to thank my God. God loves us. We say that all the time, don't we? Do we really understand that? He loves with a perfect, holy, divine love, doesn't he? God gave his Son for me. God paid the price for my redemption. God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin. God created me. God blessed me with life. God endowed me with talents and abilities. God has given me guidance so that I can walk through a very dark and dreary world. God has conquered Satan for me. God has enabled me to come to that very last moment of life and draw my last breath in death and have no fear of death at all. I do not fear the wrath of the Almighty God, and I know that God has provided me hope, and one day I will be victorious over all things. And I know I have a home awaiting for me in the hereafter. Folks, we've just begun the list, haven't we? And we walk around and we can say, oh, I understand all of that. Do you? Do you? You've never been to heaven? I have no clue other than what's in Scripture of what's that really going to be like, do I? But I know it's going to be wonderful, don't you? The Apostle Paul felt his sinful condition under the law, did he not? And he spoke these words, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death? 1 Corinthians 7:24. He comes to verse 25 and he shouts out the answer, doesn't he? I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's where my deliverance is. That's where my salvation is. That's where I'm going to be freed from the body of this death. The Corinthians were some of the most sinful individuals upon the face of this earth. And in 1 Corinthians 1:4, Paul says this, I thank my God always, listen to him, on your behalf. Why, Paul? Because ye have received the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Paul says, I thank God that the Corinthians have received the grace of the Almighty God. It's just hard for us to comprehend, is it not? What God has truly done on our behalf. And the multitude of blessings he's bestowed upon us. Folks, I'm not talking just about temporal blessings, carnal blessings. I'm talking about eternal blessings. Millions and millions and millions and millions of years will pass after this earth has been totally annihilated, and you and I will still be enjoying the blessings of God. We need to get on our knees and thank our God for what He's done on our behalf. I've asked Carlos to come and offer a prayer in that direction.
Would you bow with me? O Lord our God, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. And Father, what can we say to You that has not already been said? What words can we use to extol Your virtue and Your magnificent presence? Father, for the way that You have loved us and have ascribed all things to us that pertain to life and godliness. Father, for from the very beginning, how You pull back the scroll of creation and exposed us and allowed us to live in Your creation, to share in this world and to be in a position not only to live but to understand what it is to live in the shadow and the presence of such a loving God. We thank You, Father, for all of the tremendous blessings that You give us, Father, for the sobriety of mind to know that we know the truth and do not have to be enslaved to sin, that we can look through the clouds and see You through all of the wonderful example of creation and know, Father, that You exist and that You reward all of those who diligently seek You. We thank You so much, Father, for the precious church of Christ that You have given us, for Christ Himself, Father, who has defined every act and every aspect of reality that we can contemplate: time, space, heaven, hell, everything, Father, that we can conceive of, and even things that we can't conceive of. We thank You so much for His wonderful gift to us. And we thank You, Father, that most of all, that as we continue to sojourn through this life, that You will continue to furnish us with everything we need as long as we remain humble and in thanksgiving to You. And so in Jesus' name, we ask all these prayers for all these blessings. Amen.
Parents, teachers, spouses, we need to be thankful for them, don't we? Our military, not only these couple of days, but all year long, we need to be thankful for them. And always thankful before God for what He's done for us. My prayer is that as I think about all these individuals, that I can live in such a way as to bring honor to what they've done to me and for me. Listen to Paul as he writes to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12. And ye know how we have exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Now listen to him. Here's the charge: that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called us unto His kingdom and glory. Folks, there's the goal, isn't it? To walk worthy. To walk worthy of what our parents have done for us. To walk worthy of what our teachers have done for us. To walk worthy of what our spouses and families have helped us to become. To walk worthy of those individuals who have provided us freedom. To walk worthy of our God who's in heaven. We're not perfect, though, are we? I know I'm not. You struggle with sin. You struggle with the temptations of this world. We fall sometimes. And thank God we have God's forgiveness, don't we? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe you haven't been walking worthy and you need His forgiveness. My friends, our God sent His Son to die for you. And if you've not been redeemed by His precious blood, you need to do that tonight. If you believe in Him as the Son of God, will repent of sins, confess His name, you can be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. You'll arise a new creature in Christ, forgiven of all transgressions, added by the Lord to His church, ready to walk in newness of life as a new creature in Christ Jesus. Won't you do that tonight? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?